God is great.
Amen.
It's finished. Don't forget it's finished.
Amen.
All right. Galatians chapter 3. What he's going to teach us this morning is that the Galatians were Christian. They were Christian. But even though they were believers, even though they had gone, you know, they'd gotten, could repented of their sins and no longer believed in this world, they went back. Even though they were Christian, when hard times came up, they went back. And we'll see that in our day. A lot of people who have been Christian actually were lukewarm. They weren't hot. In other words, they couldn't take it. And they got, you know, tempted. They compromised. They wanted God, but they also wanted this world. And they were attracted to it. But once you put your hand to the plow, if you turn back, you're a fool. You're a fool because you were intending to go all the way down the end of the line. But all of a sudden, as you were leading the oxen, you decided to look back. You got in trouble because your oxen followed your hands. You went around and you never finished the field. And so whoever puts his hand to the plow, don't turn back. Just keep going to the end of the line. Actually, the end of the line is a tough one because you have to make the turn, and it's a wasted turn because you're not going to plant any seeds there. But you lift your plow up and you get back in line again, and it's that turning that hurts the machinery. That turning, you have the machinery that's rough on it. It's hard on it to make that sharp turn. But if you ever start, don't turn back. Well, you know what? It's easy. Because Jesus does it. Jesus doesn't. He doesn't. It's not up to you. You would turn back. I would turn back. Because this world is tempting. This world offers, a crown without a cross. But it can't deliver. So those that follow foolishly believes that man can be perfected and we can be kind to one another and nice and so on. That's ridiculous. That is the most foolish thing in the whole world, that the purpose of Christianity was just to make nice people. So that's the product that all churches in Dallas, Fort Worth, wherever, they want to produce nice citizens, nice husbands, nice wives, nice children, nice people. I don't. I want people to remain evil and nasty and horrible without Jesus. But then you need Jesus. Just to make it through the day, you got to have Jesus, or you'd fall back. I guarantee you, break your branch out of the tree and be on your own. You'll find out how quickly you'll revert. Reversionary. You'll just revert to what you were in the beginning. America started out getting free from England and Europe and all of their ridiculous ideas, and here we are back to Europe and England and all their stupid ideas. So the French Revolution actually lost, and now it's won again. You know, the Russians tried it, and they gave it up, and now they're back to it again. And now America's socialist, communist, you know, whatever. It's all silly. Because people want community and love. I don't. I don't want any community and any love. I've found Jesus. I'm done. I already was, you know, I understand all that. I'm not tempted by it. I don't believe in science as the god of the age or reason is awesome or whatever. I believe people are just people. So I love Obama. I wish him the best kind of thing. I pray for him. But I don't believe he's right. I believe he's wrong. People are equal, but ideas are not, as Peggy once said. And she's right. Amen. People are equally to be loved. But their ideas are not equal. Some are stupid ideas. Some are foolish. All right. So now I want to talk today, because I'm a black and white person. When I was black, I was all the way black. And now that I'm white, I'm all the way white. And so when I served the devil, I served him well. I didn't even know his name, nor did I care about him. But I was actually now, looking back, serving the enemy. That was foolish. So he says, "O foolish Galatians, anoetoi," in the Greek. The "a" in the front of it means not, opposite of. And so, noetoi, no means your mind, noia, nous. It means your mind. And the oi on the end is just the plural. So, anoetoi means you're senseless. You've lost your head. You're crazy. You're foolish. You're not wise. You started out being wise, and now look what happened to you. You've fallen back. Why? I've told you 100 times, but does anyone know why? Why do people start with chair one, chair two, repent, and then become Christians, and then turn back? Why? Why do they do it? Why don't they go on to chair five? You know, the suffering where you die to yourself, and then where you love other people. Why don't they go on all the way? Because of the flesh. So even though you're a Christian, and while you're in the flesh, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And so we love that. Well, thank you, Jesus. Yahoo! He's forgiven all my sins. Now I can sin. No. He wants to kill your flesh. Chair five. He wants to kill your flesh so it's not ruling you anymore. Boy, I resisted that. I don't want to get rid of my flesh. I want Jesus to forgive me all my sin, and then I can sin all I want without any guilt or any fear or whatever. You know, just keep sinning. And so after I was a Christian, I still was still me. I was still me. But I only now I believe that Jesus was a sucker, and he was willing to forgive me and pardon me. And I was just going back to my sin. It's called recidivism in prison terms. That the guy goes into the prison, they hope he learns his lesson kind of thing, and he comes out and he goes right back to what he had before, right? And so many Christians do that. They're recidivists. They just go right back. It's like a revolving door. You just go in and then come right back out. And so they learn nothing. So what he's saying is, O foolish, not wise, Galatians. O foolish, not wise, Galatians. That's amazing. And many Christians are like that. Am I critical of them? No. I just don't believe them. I'm not saying you weren't a Christian. I'm not saying you didn't actually believe in Jesus. I'm just saying you never matured. You're a juvenile. You're foolish, and you went back to your vomit. You went back to your life before, where you tried to mix Jesus with this world. And when you become a Christian, you're a new man, new creation. Amen. Now, why would you go back? There must be something wrong with Jesus or you. So, it isn't Jesus. It's not Jesus. I'm telling you, you know why they do it? Because they're pastors, prophets, evangelists, whatever. They're leaders, are not good teachers, because it wouldn't happen otherwise. They didn't present to the people how good God's word is and how good. I can turn the whole Bible into good.
Yeah.
You can give me any law about woe unto you or whatever. I'll turn it into good. I can turn any law into a promise. You give me a law, I'll turn it into a promise. Why? I'm tricky. No, I'm not tricky. I'm just reading the New Testament, which corrects everything in the old. And it said, you know, that you don't do a lick of work. This is all God's work, passive to you. You don't actively become righteous. You will never be. You can't say, well, now that Jesus saved me, I'm better. I don't believe that. I don't believe you ever improve. I don't believe in any human progression. You remember Hillary says all the time, I'm a progressive. I don't believe in that progressive, you know, man getting better and so on. I think we're the same as the stupid caveman that bopped his wife over the head with his club. You know, and we're still that way. We're still not happy. We're still not free. We're still stupid. Yep. That's it. We haven't advanced one bit. Man is still not radiantly free and happy all the time. But I am. I am. I found the secret. It's in this book. It's not in some other book. This is the only book right here. That's it. God's word. Written down. Put in everybody's language. The language may have been mistranslated into English. And I know it is. I can show you many places where the Greek original of the New Testament or the Hebrew original in the Old Testament. It's not being followed perfectly. So I'm not interested that it's good enough to get you saved, chair four. It's not good enough to get you all the way to the end. So therefore, I teach out of the end. I always teach from the end back to the beginning. In other words, if you want to go to Dallas, you got to find out where you are. If Dallas is the goal, you have to find out, are you in Chicago, or are you in Florida, or are you in Fort Worth? You got to find out where you are in order to get to the end. So you start with the end. Where are you going? Maps go. You know, you put it up to try to figure it out, or, you know, Google or whatever your thing is. You got to know, where are you? And so A is always where I am. And B is always where I'm going. And then the other is, how do I get there? Well, they have it all mapped out for you. And I don't believe in those things. I don't trust them. Because they have extra roads. You're always going on super highways and different things paying tolls. And, you know, it's nonsense. So I don't ever follow them. But I know where I'm going, and I have a vague idea. You know, it goes from here to over here. You know, so I figure out right away, I'm going to look closer at it than A to B. Because it's easy to get from 4 to 6 if you skip 5. And so I'm always looking for the shortcut. Gee, do I have to suffer? Do I have to suffer to be, you know, there? Yeah, you do. Why? Because your flesh, it isn't other people causing you to suffer. It's not being poor or sick. We're not talking about that. That's not suffering. Suffering is where you're not content. That this Jesus that loved you here in chair 4 is the same Jesus that you trust to go into chair 5. When he says, look, just follow me. Yeah, but I might get in trouble with somebody. Well, of course. You'll have the world, the flesh, and the devil. I mean, you're going to have a lot of enemies, but the only one that matters is not the devil. The devil does not matter. And the world does not matter. You already repented of the world, but that it's your flesh that matters. You got to kill your flesh in chair 5. That's all there's to it. It's a cancer. You want to cut it out so you can live on.
Yes.
Right? I mean, he's not taking away something good. I'm going to take out your finger. You know, it's not going to take my finger off. It's just going to take out the disease that's in me, that Egypt. Remember, Israel got out of Egypt, but then they still had Egypt in their hearts. Where's our onions? Where's our leeks? This desert place stinks, you know. And so they were never happy. They grumbled and griped the whole way. They got out of Egypt. They weren't slaves anymore. And now that they were free, it was too hard to stay free. You're about to lose all your freedoms. You know that. But you won't. You don't. Don't worry about it. The good guys will win. But I'm just telling you, for many people, the world's falling apart. And you got to know God's program. Hey, God. Do you still have this idea of religious liberty, or have you given that one up? Have you still had this idea that our founders had, that there could be just government on earth, or did you give that one up too? Is the devil won? You said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Looks like they are. Looks like they're about to prevail. How many know that's the way it looks? But don't judge by appearance, but judge with right judgment. Guess what? We win. So I'm not nervous. I'm not worried. Let the bad guys do all they can do. Go for it. Pull out all the stops. Woohoo! How many know the best has been saved to the last?
Amen.
And you're it. You're it. It's not going to happen out of Utah. Right? It's not going to come from Utah. It's not going to come from Chicago.
Amen.
It's not going to come from New York. Not going to come from San Diego. It's going to be right here. We're it. Right here, we're the Bible Belt, the buckle of the Bible, or whatever they call it, you know, whatever it is. You know, this is it. And so us idiots down here in Texas, yeehaw, that kind of idiot, we're having a ball. We still believe in Jesus. We still read our Bibles. We still pray. We still go to church. The rest of the United States is way beyond us. They're post-Christian, post-modern, post-something or other. I mean, they're on the cutting edge. We're way in the past. I believe we're the future. Listen carefully. I believe they're the past. We're the future. I believe they're medieval. I believe they're primitive. I believe that all their illusions will come all of a sudden to a head. And everyone will realize Obama never helped the black man or the homosexual community or anybody else that ever believed in him. Sorry. I believe they'll discover that. But, you know, it'll be too late. I don't even believe in late. I don't believe anything's late. I believe everything's right on time. Amen. I think it's our day. And I'm not just saying that to pump up people. I'm just saying that's what I read in the Bible. I read, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail.
Amen.
Against the church of the living God. So there it is. Knowing that, being a black and white person, I believe it. So that's it. I mean, I don't ever question. I don't ever doubt. I don't ever rethink. I'm fixed, finished. It's in cement. Can't be shaken. I'm on a rock. They're on sand. They're on that shifting sand. They're always moving around. Now, I was raised totally in paganism. So, I mean, I was a happy pagan. I wasn't at all. I never had guilt. I'm not talking about me. I'm just talking about me to illustrate something. So I already know where they're going. Nowhere. Because I used to live in nowhere. My point A was nowhere. I didn't even know anything from anything. And I was always looking around to figure out, what do people know that I need to know? You know, because I'm on the outside of whatever it is they're talking about. They say crime doesn't pay. I say it does. I was just looking around Chicago. In Chicago, crime pays. I'm telling you, as a little bitty kid on my bicycle, I drove by the golf course and saw the nicest homes. That was Scarface. That was, you know, Louis the, you know, whatever. Those guys had the nicest homes and the nicest cars and everything. And they were criminals. And they were my relatives, which is even worse. And we were the poor white Irish trash. But my Uncle Duke, Irish, was the head of the Irish Mafia. That's why he was called the Duke. I thought that was his name. We never knew that his name was Louis. I didn't know his name was Louis. That don't make any sense, or Louis. And so it's like, oh. But we never called him that. We just called him Uncle Duke because he was a Duke. But I never knew that that meant a mafia head. I didn't know that. So he was one of the Chicago bosses. And I remember my first job, a church member came up to me, and nobody in my family had ever amounted to a hill of beans. And so there was no hope for me to go to college or something. And I cheated on everything anyway, lied and so on. But anyway, he said to me, are you planning to go to college? I don't know. I don't think so. We don't have any money. We're dirt poor. Well, what they had right then was the minimum wage was 99 cents an hour. This is when I was 16 years old or something, 17. And so 99 cents an hour. And he said, I can help you. You'll make $3.10 an hour. Well, that's three times what they made, plus a few cents. It's like, wow, I could go to college then. If I worked in the summer, I did 100 homes every summer. Okay, I was an electrician, all that kind of stuff. And so every summer I'd make all this money. And it was neat because you were in the union. It wasn't what you knew. It was who you knew. And I realized, you know, this crime thing works good. This mafia thing is cool. And my biological father, I later found out, worked for Jimmy Hoffa. Jimmy Hoffa is in some river somewhere. I don't know where he is, at the bottom of some lake or something with cement on his ankles. But wherever he is and was, my dad worked for him, my biological dad. And his older brother was Italian mafia. That was Vic. But an even older brother, Tom, he was also in the Italian mafia. So that they're from Cicero. That's outside Chicago. And I used to take the little train into town. I'm just telling you all this stuff because it's stupid. I'm telling you why I know that sin is stupid. Because I was wanting to be a criminal. The only question I had was blue collar or white collar. And at a certain point in my life, I realized, you better be a white collar guy. Go to college, get an education. Apparently, if you get that, you get better pay. You learn big words. And, you know, and I've learned all those words. I was the top of the top of the top. I was la creme de la creme. I always took double majors. And so I know you've heard all this, but I just want to tell you, it's kind of interesting why I understand the Bible just like that. Because I'm the opposite of what the Bible, whatever it said don't do, I want to do it. Whatever it said do, I don't want to do it. So I'm not going to do it. I don't care about heaven. I don't care about hell. I'm not interested in anything but sin. I just love sinning. I didn't call it sin. I didn't even know that word. as a Bible word, as a word Christians use. I just knew, do what you want, when you want, how you want, and don't let your parents know. So my parents absolutely had no clue as to what I really did, thought, said. They only knew what I said at home. Now, I was very good at lying, being a con artist. And so from early on, I learned how to cheat and lie and steal, and I loved it. I wasn't thinking, when I grow up, I'll do this or do that. I didn't know what I'm doing. I just want to survive. And do you know a lot of people are like me? I mean, I'm not as rare as it sounds. It's just most people in the South, you know, grew up in church and so on. I didn't go to church. I didn't want to go to church. I knew the Catholics were no good. They're hypocrites because that's what the Protestants said. So I knew. But I also knew the Protestants were hypocrites. And so I don't fit in. I don't fit in. So I've always been a misfit. I have no problem being a misfit. So it never bothered me because I'm just out to survive. And I realize sharing with other people doesn't help because they're in another world than I'm in. You know, they're saying they're Christians when I see that they're really not. Or they're saying that they're, you know, pagans. And I was more comfortable with the mafia because at least they tell you, I'm going to kill you. Then they're going to do it. They don't do that in Texas, but they do it up in Chicago. When they say they're going to kill you, they're going to kill you. It's not a game. So it's street. That's just the way the street operates. And, you know, they're not into just crime. They're into taking everything. And, you know, but they're smart. They're not stupid. The bosses are. And they know how to just do it to this point and then stop. And then they know how to send their kids to Harvard and Yale. Exactly where I ended up. Exactly. So it was crime that got me everywhere. It was lying and cheating and conning people that got me everywhere. But when I became a Christian, it was 100%. I went from black to white. I went from, you know, this way of doing it to this way. And it was immediate. It was instantaneous because it was supernatural, which I never prayed for. I never wanted. I wasn't seeking to be a Christian. I didn't want to be a Christian. I wanted to be chair number one. I never believed in chair number two, religion, morals. I never believed in that. And I never was. I only did as much as I needed to do to get through the day. That was all. Just get by. Did you do that? No. I mean, I lied easily. A lie detector test would not have caught me because lying was my nature. I knew. I mean, even today as a Christian, I can just fall back into lying like in a second. Total exaggeration or whatever else. I love it. And pride? I wasn't really proud, but I had a lot of pride in my not really being proud. And so on and so forth. I knew I was just a piece of crap. I was nothing. I had no value at all. And I knew whatever I was going to get, I was just going to have to take it. Or, you know, by my wits, try to grab it. But I knew one thing. You have to go to college. You have to go to school and get all these degree things. So I decided on 7. I thought, I'll get 7 degrees because I knew a Jesuit priest who had 5. So I thought, he might get another one in the meanwhile because I'm getting them 2 at a time. I'm going to have to get 7. So, and I knew it was just a game. My heart wasn't in it. There was nothing. It just, what do I need to win? What do I need to succeed? Now, is there anyone else like me except for Raul? Is there anyone else like me?
Amen.
It's just, yeah, quite a few. Thank you, Hugo. God bless you. Because I'm going to survive. And I don't care that I don't. Because I shouldn't. Anyone can shoot me at any time or catch me because I'm not that clever. It's just that I work very hard at being rotten to the core. But hiding it. And so I covered my trail. And nobody ever caught me. They should have. They should have caught me. Because I was inside a killer. I was inside, you know, totally selfish. And when Peggy and I married, she asked me, well, do you love me? No.
That was after we
were married. I mean, she had some clues that after we married, it didn't change a thing. And so, I mean, I have no warmth in me. I have no concern. It's like, so what? Take off. You know, want to stay? Stay. Whatever. I mean, I have nothing to offer because I'm just a liar. But so she asked me the big question, do you love me? No. I mean, it didn't take me 3 nanoseconds to answer that. No. I mean, why are you asking? Don't you know me? I'm no good. But now, I don't know about anybody else. I only know me. I knew that I was no good. I wanted to be no good, and I was no good. And I had no guilt over, you know, do you love me? That was like, what a silly question. Nobody loves anybody. I'm sure I said that at one point or another. Nobody loves. That's Hollywood. That's nonsense. People are ruthless. You know, just scratch their a little bit, and you find out what they're really like. They're really angry. They have lust and fear and doubt and worry and all that stuff. I'm faking it too, but I know I'm faking it. Other people don't know it. I know it. I know what I'm doing is mean, nasty. But I have no morals. I have no standard. I have no thing to live up to. I'm just trying to survive this wicked world and get as much as I can, as long as I can, and then I drop dead. So what? I'm not looking forward to heaven or hell or something. I'm not afraid of hell, and I'm not, you know, excited about heaven. I like just doing whatever I can do. Just try to get ahead. Now, Janet, you weren't raised that way. So, but sadly, everybody secretly is just like me. It's sad to say. But I read that in the Bible. I just read that in the Bible. It said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Did you realize that everybody that you meet in the world is a sinner? At least they start out that way. And then if they become a Christian, hope they don't become a hypocrite, a liar, because that wouldn't be Christian. But I hope they repent of chair 1 and 2 and then become a 4 and then go on to 5 until they finally are Christ-like in spirit, soul, body, in all your ways, right? So how many know that's a kind of a difficult job today in the church? To get a church, the whole church, mature in Christ, you know, completely out of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. So Paul is saying here to a bunch of Galatians, O foolish Galatians, you began in chair 4. You repented of chair 1 and 2. Now you began in chair 4, but you now are going back to 1 and 2. Some are going to go back to sin. Others are going to go back to pretending like you're self-righteous and nice. But why don't you go through this fire here and get disciplined, discipled, taught, trained, beat up, whatever, suffer, and then you'll be purified. That's how you purify gold. You purify it by sending through fire. Amen? Now, how many know this message is not a good message? But to me, it's the truth. To me, it's the truth. It'll never get me 50,000 members or 500,000 or whatever the big number is. But I don't care about it. Why? I died. When I met Jesus Christ, that was it. It was it. I knew I don't care what it costs because I already know you have to make it in a wicked world. I already know wicked because I was. I was the guy trying to be the Antichrist or the top guy. I wanted to be the emperor. I did not want to be his assistant. I want to be the top of the top of the top. And because I have nothing going for me, I'll just have to fake it. And because I have no morals, that gives me an advantage over people that have morals and religion. I had nothing to stop me. And it was amazing how I went all the way to Yale. And I could have gone to Harvard. So it didn't matter which school it was, Heidelberg, Germany, whatever. I could go anywhere. But I was getting there by lies. So nobody knew that I could sneak in. How many know you can just sneak in? Obama did it. Obama's just like me. He's from Chicago. He's a bad guy. I know Mayor Daley and all these people and how they operate because that's my family. And that's how I got my first job. It's like, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And it's all done under the table. Nothing is on the surface. And so knowing all that, not in the head, but experientially, I just knew that's the way the world works. And there's nobody out there that loves me. No, nobody loves me. My mother doesn't love me. She tried to abort me 4 times. That's not love. How many know that is not love? just from a black-white point of view. But it was her mother, grandmother, who said, get rid of the little kid. Just get rid of him before he comes out. So they wanted to do me in, and I was just a little baby, and I didn't even know what was going on. So when my mother finally did tell me about that, I said, well, explain to me how you tried. What were the methods you used to get rid of me? Because you should have been successful if you were going to do what grandmother said. And so she explained it all. Wow, that was awesome. I said, I must have been clever. How did I avoid this particular method and that particular method? It's like, I am cool. I am so cool that I survived. I said, Mom, she was crying, of course, because she didn't want to tell that I was, that she tried to abort her own baby. She didn't want to tell that. How many know people get emotional about that stuff? So she was crying. I said, Mom, why are you crying? Remember, I don't have any emotions. Why are you crying? I'm just a scientist. Why are you crying? I don't want to talk about it. Well, I do. I want to hear how you did it because I want to hear how clever I was. And by the way, Mom, I'm a Christian now.
I know.
And look, you're a Christian now because of me.
Okay.
You know, and so she didn't want to tell it. Then I said, well, I want to see my dad, my original dad. Give me the original. Well, that one was not your original one. Oh, well, give me the one that was original.
I don't know his name.
You know, it was World War II, everybody went off to war kind of thing. And so, I'm sure he's dead. Well, I don't believe in that. He may be dead, he may be alive. Maybe he's a banker. I could borrow some money. Let me find out who he is. Or maybe, you know, this and maybe that. So we did find him. Thank God for Peggy. Because I gave up right away. I said, well, there's no way you can find the guy. We didn't know anything about him. Well, give me an idea. What's his name? I can't remember. No, Mom, you can remember. What is his name? You don't sleep with somebody like that and get a little kid and can't remember who his father is.
That's right.
So, well, it was Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, aha. All right, Thanksgiving. What year? 1939. So in 1939, Thanksgiving, she slept with my dad. That was cool. Wow. Right after Thanksgiving, I came on Thanksgiving. That's pretty cool. I was conceived into this world in Thanksgiving. And Roosevelt, who was president at that time, the businessman talked him into changing it from the fourth or third Thursday or something, whatever it was. He changed the law that it could be earlier so that businessmen had a longer time between Thanksgiving and Christmas to shop. So it was strictly a commercial decision. And that was the first year it happened. That's when I was born. What a clever child I was. That's awesome. And so I was excited about that. Very thankful. Anyway, on and on and on. My point is that I was wicked to the hilt. My point is that I didn't want to be a Christian. I didn't want to even go that way. That was not interesting or at all appealing to me, that I had a God that loved me and so on. I didn't believe any of that. I just believed in living from moment to moment. Do you know in Latin it says carpe diem? In other words, just celebrate the day, the moment. Don't worry about the future or the past. That was me. I always just lived for the moment. Did what I wanted. Were you like that, Tim, a little bit? A little bit, yeah. Nice Christian boy, raised in a nice Christian family, yet he's living for the moment. Well, there are a few other people in Dallas like that. They're raised under, you know, Jesus, and then they fall away. As soon as you go to college or you get a little older, you compromise. How many know you're about 11 or 12, you start swearing, you start doing stuff you're not supposed to do. But in my case, you did that right off, because that's the way my neighborhood was. Everybody was already, and I didn't even know what the words were, but I knew what they meant. And so everybody was that way. It was a bad neighborhood. We were on the wrong side of Ogden Avenue, the wrong side of the tracks. That's Route 66. Goes all the way to the end of Texas over there in El Paso. Goes all the way, keeps going after that even. So I knew you're not a good person. You'll never be a good person. I don't want to be a good person. I never want to be good. It's too much work. You have to neglect your flesh. Why would I want to do that? So I started in 1980-ish, somewhere in there. Peggy knows exactly, 70, 80, whatever it was. And I was a Christian. But I didn't want to go back. I'd already been there. So I don't have to do the fake part here, hypocrite. I was always a sinner. I just have to go back to that because I was one. But I didn't want to do that. I already knew that was a dead end. I already knew that crime, which I thought paid in this world, it didn't pay in the next world. And therefore, there's no point in being a Christian if you don't want to, if you think there's something here, if you think there's life in life, like most young people do. Boy, when I grow up, I'll be able to do this and do that and so on and so forth. There's no life in life. I had all the freedom in the world to do anything I wanted, and I did it. It's not worth anything. And I saw that. I saw that this was not happiness in life, but I didn't care about it, but I saw it. So I didn't want to go back to one because it didn't work. It never worked. I knew sooner or later you're going to get caught. Sooner or later you're going to be judged. Sooner or later something's going to happen. And I mean, you just know that. When you do crime, you're not hiding it from yourself. You know you're doing it deliberately, consciously, and knowingly. And so whatever I'm doing, I know I'm doing wrong. I'm going to get caught one of these days. But I didn't want to be a hypocrite. So one day I stood up in front of my Fort Worth church, and I said, by the way, I'm a total pagan. I've always been a pagan. I'm still a pastor, but I'm not a believer. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in God. I don't fear God. I don't love God. I know all about Him. I went to school at Yale. I learned all about God. So I got all the language, and you never would catch me. So I just thought I'd give you a chance to fire me or leave. You know, so here's your chance. So I just told him, you know, I'm not a Christian. Never have been. Love my job. Gosh, you pay me 1 hour a week for a service and a 20-minute sermon, and I get paid just as though I work full time. It's like, this is so cool. You have no idea that when I leave here, I don't go home and read the Bible and pray. When I go home, I play tennis. I do whatever I want to do. It's great. What a job. This is great. And nobody cares that I don't believe in God. But since you didn't know about it, I thought I'd tell you. Because I'm tired of, you know, playing the game of that I'm a good Christian. It's very tiring when I know I'm not. And so in Texas, when a horseshoe is a horseshoe, people don't say it's something else. So I just decided, you know, help these Texans out. I'll just say the truth. I'm a phony, a fake, a liar, a hypocrite. I'm not an atheist because it's not even that interesting to find out whether he isn't or is. I'm just simply me, worth nothing. So, total fake. So, once I went to number four, I didn't get there by thinking. I didn't get there by, you know, behavior. I got there by actually a supernatural God experience. I knew that this life was dead forever. And this life was the only life, no matter what it cost. Amen. I sat down, counted the cost. Took me 7 years from New York to Texas. Well, when I got here, I knew everybody in Texas had to be a Christian or a goat roper or something. But I knew the people down here actually still believe in God. I think I'll go there to find out if they got really God or if they're just faking it. And I went to the Baptist church and found a lot of hypocrites. I went to the Pentecostal. And I went to the different ones just to find out. Catholic, I already knew. And so it's like only God could rescue me out of the religious hypocrisy world. Only God. So God, whom I don't believe in, and this was when my first daughter was born. God, I don't believe in you. But she was born on November 17th. And I went to the Botanic Gardens in Fort Worth. I held up my daughter with my hands like this. I'm just making it up because I'm not even believing in God. But I'm doing it anyway. God, this little girl that you brought into my life, she's going to love me because I'm such a liar and a fake. And she's going to love me. And then she's going to watch me every move I make. And then she's going to find out when she's maybe 2, 2.5, 3, that I'm a phony and a liar. And it'll bother her and she'll be disillusioned and so on. So why did I birth her? Why did I birth her? I mean, that's wrong. And so, God, I don't believe in you. But if you're there, I'm going to put her on the altar because it's your girl. And if you don't take care of her, it's your fault because you know I'm no good. But if you are God, you're going to have to find me because I have no clue as to where you live or where you are. I don't know. So I am no good to the core. And I'm not hiding that. My life is an open book. So here she is. You take care of her. And if something goes wrong with her, it's your fault. Because I'm giving you to her. Not my daughter. It's yours. This is yours. And you put her with me. You're an idiot. You're a fool. So you shouldn't do it. Unless you get me born again. And you know I'm never going to get born again. But if you can do it, I will tell the whole world you are God. So I'm telling you today. He is God. Because he did do it. And he did it within the little time frame I gave him. I don't like God to have too much room to cheat. So I gave him, you got 2 years or less, you know, because she'll catch me. And so I just gave him the 2 years, and sure enough. And I forgot about it after that. I never thought of that again until Peggy reminded me just a few years ago. I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. She said, by the way, you tell that story all the time. Did you ever think about it? When did you get saved? I don't know, such and such and such a date. And I was in Arizona. Was it Arizona? Yeah, Arizona. Details mean nothing to me. Being a liar, I can mess with details and move them around. But Peggy always catches me on everything. It wasn't that way. You said this. It wasn't that way. So thank God I married a legalist, a moral person who pays attention to all those details. So I just want to hit the surface of it. And that's fine. Good enough for me. You're a Christian or you're not. But Peggy wants to know what kind. I don't want to know all that. I just want to know you. Are you in love with Jesus all the way? You want to go all the way? How many here want to go all the way with Jesus? All the way. You know, praise God. So we've run off all the others that are just here kicking tires, wondering, you know, maybe, and so on and so forth. Run them off. And I can't believe you're still here. This is like amazing to me. There must be a God because people are still listening to this story. But you know what? It's real. I actually believe, just like in the Bible. Totally. You cannot fool me or catch me on that I don't believe in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and David, and so on. I believe in all of them. I believe in every one of them. And I know the only thing is faith. So chair four is faith. You're made righteous. Why then did you fall back? Not you, because you obviously are still here, so you made it. Because if you didn't get in chair five, I'll put you in chair five. Keep drilling this thing in until you all become a chair six. I want everyone here to be a lover. And then finally, when Jesus comes back, you'll sit on the throne. So chair seven isn't part of this deal. It's when Jesus comes back. That's when that's the millennium. This is right here. You have to be one of these for him. You have to be a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. And then you get to sit on the throne, marry him, and get your inheritance and all that. But you got to be one of these, otherwise he's not going to take you. Not the first time when he comes back. Maybe after the millennium there's some hope, but not the first time. So when he comes back, it's clear. See, I don't mess with the Bible. I never change it. Whatever it says, it's to me, that's exactly what it is. I don't say, well, I helped God out. He probably didn't mean this. No. Whatever he said, that's it. Y'all understand? I never mess with the Bible. Whatever it says, it's exactly what it means. God wrote it. That's what I believe. I believe the living God who's not down here, and we don't see him. I believe the living, invisible God, he wrote this thing through the Holy Spirit, working through men. That's not a problem for me. I don't care about what people say. Well, I don't know if I believe that. I don't have those kind of things. Look, it's either true or false. For me, it's just black and white. When I lied, I lied. When I stole, I stole. I never said to myself, no, you really didn't steal. I never make up stuff like that. When I was caught, I was caught. And now that I became a Christian, I want to go all the way. I don't want to have less than Abraham. I don't want to have less than Isaac. I don't want to be a sub-person. I want to be the greatest Christian ever. Totally in love, man of God, with everything God has said and done. And I want to have all the miracles and the signs and the wonders and everything. Whatever goes with the package, I want all of it. Y'all see that? That's a mafia way of looking at life. I want to get as much as I can, all of it. I don't want to leave anything on the table for anybody else. That's it. So if you're supposed to be a Christian, spirit, soul, body, then I want all of that. I want it spirit, soul, and body. So since I repented of these two chairs over here, since I repented of that, I never want to go back. I can't go back. I mean, I could, but I don't want to. I can drink all the whiskey I want, but I don't want any. I can have all the adultery I want. I don't want any. I'm not looking for anything. I don't want money. I don't want anything. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Good enough for me.
Amen.
I don't even need to ask the question. I'm not looking at the fine print or anything. I just, whatever you said, God, I believe in it.
Yes.
Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. One of the things he said is, rejoice in the Lord always. So, that's me. I'm always rejoicing. You can't force yourself to rejoice. I just do. Why? Because I believe everything's going my way.
Yeah.
I believe just what it said in the book. Everything I say is based on this book. Now, Martin Luther wrote more than any other human being, he wrote, you know, millions and millions and millions of words and books. And that's how he got it. He was a good guy. He was a hypocrite guy. But he was trying his best to be a good Christian under the Catholic system of behave yourself. But he knew he wasn't. So he was like me in the sense that he knew he wasn't. But he was like a Catholic in the sense that he thought he had to. And like a Jewish person under the law. So when he discovered in Galatians that they were foolish because they began in the spirit and then they went back to the flesh, that turned his life around. Just like that. Just like Paul, just like Luther, so me. Same. It's supernatural. I don't think you can get people by talking them into it. I don't believe in apologetics. I don't believe in all that stuff. I'm sorry. I believe only in one thing. That Bible is the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Amen.
And that Jesus that it talks about is my best friend, my beloved, my everything.
Yeah.
Everything you can think of, that's Jesus.
Yeah.
Do I want a good family? And no, I don't want anything. Do I want a good church? No, I don't want it. I got everything I need. The rest of it is all just, you know, frosting, gravy, you know, it's just extra. It's like, okay, I'll take that too. Because it promises when you get Jesus, he freely gives you all things. So I'm not afraid of emperors. I'm not afraid of the Pope. I'm not afraid of, you know, Adolf Hitler. I'm not afraid of anybody and anything. Why? Because they have nothing. I have nothing to fear. When you seek first the kingdom of God and his form, his kind of righteousness, free gift, free gift. You don't do anything. He gives you everything else. He just gives it to you. Wow, there's no work in it. I've never worked at being a Christian. I've never worked at being a husband. I've never worked at being a pastor. I've never worked. I'm not a worker. I'm a total lazy person. Is there anybody here like that? Lazy?
Oh, yeah.
Alex? Okay. Praise God. Way in the back. Lazy, lazy. Is anybody else lazy? I'm just made for lazy. I don't know. It's just natural. But now that I'm a Christian, I work harder than anybody, and I really do. I sleep very little and so on. I don't care about food or anything. I don't care about anything except Jesus. And as long as I'm alive, every minute of every second, I'm going to talk about Jesus and I'm going to live Jesus and whatever you're supposed to do. And I totally depend on Jesus to do it since I don't do anything. He just does it, and I don't know how he does it, and I don't care how he does it. I just know that he does it. So I have actually... This is a small group here today, you know, 30, 40, 50 people, whatever. But in the world, I am world famous. I have millions and millions of people that listen to me. That's amazing. I mean, Peggy doesn't, but other people do. You can't be a prophet in your own home. So I don't really care that anybody sees how great God is in me. I don't care. It's a joke. To me, it's funny that he would use a vessel like me to show himself off, right? But if he could show himself off in me, a rotten, no good person, he could actually show himself off in Willis. And you know that'd be a miracle. And right here, Sam. Sam is not perfect. I don't know, Vicky, if you found that out. Oh, glory. Dan, you're definitely no good. That guy is no good. But you know what? Wyatt. You're the best. You're the best. I love it. I love it. We're best friends. Am I right?
Yeah.
All right. That's good. So, do you see, God is still in charge. I believe God runs the whole world. I believe he created the world. I believe he governs the world. I believe he owns the world. I believe he corrects the world. I believe he sorts everything out. I believe he makes all the divisions he needs to make. And I believe he always wins. And then he marries us and so on and so forth. So I believe all this is God's work. 4, 5, and 6 is nothing. No work of man can do 4, 5, or 6. So you're justified here, you're sanctified here, you're glorified here. This one's called dikaiosune in Greek. This one's called hagios in Greek. This one is called doxa in Greek. This is the goal right here. Get to this chair. How many are already here? Your lover. You don't care about your own life. You don't care about your live or die or eat or sleep or whatever. You just care about one thing. I want to be a mature man or woman of God, period. And I want to please him in all that I do and say. How many are already there? How many are already there by faith?
By faith.
Okay, yeah, that's good. So it doesn't matter if you're in 4 or 5 or 6. It doesn't matter because at least you know that's the goal. Every little kid born into this world does not want to stay a baby. There's never been any baby ever born into this world that says, I hope I can stay here in the crib forever. Right. I mean, it's a nice place. They feed you and clothe you and take care of you. And, you know, they do everything. And you don't have to do anything. They all want to grow up and walk. And they want to talk, just like you talk. Little kids, within a year or two, they've learned your language. And they didn't go through, what is that course they have now, you know, some court. What is it?
Berlitz
is one of them. Yeah, now they got one on eBay or something or other, you know, whatever. One of those things where you learn a language in, you know, 40 days or whatever, you know. So you can learn anything off of these new deals. But a little kid, I can't believe that a little kid within 2 years has got your language down. He's got probably 500 words or 700 words that you need. You don't need 7,000 words is way too many. Hardly anybody has more than 400 or 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 words. That is, with all the education we get, they don't learn that many vocabulary words. But a little kid will learn how to say everything he needs to say, and he's just 2 or 3 or 4 years old. And they're already unbelievable. I look at a little kid that speaks Chinese, and I think, wow, this little kid is only 3, and he's speaking Chinese already. It's like, because he didn't learn grammar. He didn't learn anything. He's already speaking Chinese. It's perfect. It's unbelievable. So I don't know how it works. I just know we have an awesome God.
Yeah.
Did you know you can do anything in this world?
Yeah.
I can do all things.
Amen.
Through Christ who strengthens me. I love that. I love that. Did you know you can do anything through Christ?
Amen.
Did you know that apart from me you can do nothing, he says? So if you don't have him, you can't do anything. But we got PhDs out there. We got people that are experts in this and that and so on and so forth. He says you did nothing. You just labored in vain. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. Wow, that's amazing. So, O foolish Galatians, ano etoi, okay? So I told you the a means not, and the no etoi is nous, your mind. You're mindless. You've lost your mind. You're insane. You're not wise. You're a fool, Galatians. Well, I hope you're blessed today. So don't be a foolish Galatian. Start in chair 4 and don't get to chair 6. Keep going. Go through chair 5. I know that's the only one that bothers you. Get dead. Don't get better. Amen. Get deader. Don't get better. Get deader.
Amen.
Praise God. Here's a dead man.
Praise the Lord.
Right here. David Halverson.
Yeah.
He's a blame man. That's good.
God's good.
Amen.